Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Tuesday, June 4th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. Sitka High School won the state small school softball championship again. The Lady Wolves beat Ketchikan 7-6 on Saturday to claim their fourth consecutive state championship. Coach Bob Petruski says winning has in no way become routine. Nevertheless, he's not the kind of coach who runs out on the field to celebrate.
That's the girls' time, and, you know, I try to just back away and just watch, and that's really the most fun, just watching their excitement, and because they work really, really hard for it.
Petruski did have a special family moment. His daughter, senior Stefania Petruski, had been on all four championship teams. She let the coach know he was appreciated.
My daughter picked me out of the crowd after she was with her teammates for a little bit, and she came out and gave me a big hug. She was pretty pleased.
The title game on Saturday was a nail-biter. The Lady Wolves scored with two outs in the bottom of the seventh to clinch the win. Petruski says there's no telling what might have happened had the game gone into extra innings. He thinks the girls proved that they were the best team in the state.
We hit at 6 a.m. 3 days a week, and you know, then we practice, you know, till 6 p.m. at night. And it's kind of a race, softball, because we start March 1st and we're done June 1st. It's a relatively short season as far as softball goes, but the dedication that the girls put in this year just totally paid off.
Dedication is one part of the Lady Wolves' success. A deep reserve of talent is another. Petruski lost seven starters between 2011 and 2012 and lost five starters coming into the season. Their team batting average was .401. There's only one word for that.
Which is ridiculous.
The Lady Wolves went 16-4 in the regular season and were undefeated in four tournament games. We'll have more from Coach Bob Petruski and some of his players themselves on Brian Hansen's High School Sports and Activities Wednesday morning at 8:18 a.m. The Sitka Salmon Derby wrapped up this weekend. Mike Vaughn caught the winning fish. It weighed in at 55.5 pounds. That's 14 pounds heavier than last year's champion. Vaughn is a fisheries biologist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, though he said that doesn't have anything to do with him catching the biggest fish and the $7,000 prize. He won the Derby last year, too. It was the first time in the 58-year Derby that someone won first prize 2 years in a row. The 15-year-old Brady Harang reeled in the winning fish in the Kids League, which weighed just under 17 pounds. According to John McCrayan, the Salmon Derby barge chairman, there were fewer fish caught this year, but those that were brought in were bigger. The average was about 19.5 pounds. Over the whole competition, 310 fish were caught, weighing a total of 6,082 pounds. Plans to update one of Sitka's most widely used buildings goes up for public scrutiny tonight. Architects and city officials are seeking your input on how to redesign Harrigan Centennial Hall. The design to be presented tonight is the product of months of meetings and public process. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more.
As heavy equipment finishes work on the parking lot of Harrigan Centennial Hall, architect Garrett Bertner stands on the sidewalk outside the building's main entrance.
Essentially, the new entry would be when you come across the new parking lot plaza. Instead of going straight in, you would make about a 15-degree turn to your left, and you'd be headed into the main entry.
Bertner works for the Anchorage firm McCool Carlson Green. He and firm partner John Weir have drawn up the new plans. Bertner says the firm has a lot of history with this building.
Our senior partner at McCool Carlson Green, John McCool, was the original architect of Centennial Hall. It just so happens.
No kidding.
So he was a young architect starting out in the 60s, and he was working in Seattle at a firm down there, and he got the commission to do, or was, you know, assisting at least, but he did all the drafting and did the trips up here, saw it be built.
That was back in 1967. New plans for Centennial Hall preserve many of the building's most popular features, including the giant windows behind the stage in the auditorium, the footprint of the auditorium itself, and the high windows over the building's main hallway. But the plans also modernize the space. The main entrance, for example, moves from right in front of the auditorium to the left at an angle, and it leads into a lobby that goes clear through to Crescent Harbor on the other side.
So the idea is that you really have this line of sight through the new building to the harbor, and vice versa if you're on the harbor side looking through to town. So if you arrive and come up from the docks or off the lightering dock, you not only can tell where you're supposed to go in the building, but you can see right through and see that there's town right there.
So, if you'll allow for a little imagination, let's walk into that lobby. Through the doors, and just to your left now, is the new entrance to the Sitka Historical Museum. Historical Society member Ernestine Massey says that's a big change.
What I like is the access from the lobby. I think that's a huge improvement. We were clear down at the other end of the building before, or we are now.
The museum also gets a lot more space, slightly more in this first phase, and a lot more if the plans proceed to the second phase.
We have materials stored all over the community, and so if the time comes that we can grow and we can become, you know, the real full museum that we want to be, then the space is there for us to do it when we get the funds.
We're still in the center of the lobby now, and right in front of you is the office for the building staff, and there to the right, a hallway leading to the rest of the building. Down that hallway, the auditorium, meeting rooms that can be partitioned off or linked together, a new kitchen, and expanded storage space for the building's equipment. And out on the other side of the lobby, Crescent Harbor and a pedestrian walkway.
Number one, the way it was before, it was really unsafe.
That's Fred Reeder. He works for Cruise Line Agencies of Alaska, which represents the various cruise companies that bring visitors to Sitka and other ports. He says having a driveway behind Centennial Hall, as is the case now, is less than ideal for visitors who arrive at the lightering docks nearby.
And we had buses going behind the building and people launching boats, and then we try to move 1,000 people through them. And my concern was, as we grow and try to grow the industry back to what we had before, was that we can still use Crescent Harbor and have a wonderful entry to the building and use it safely. And also, as we use the old Sitka dock, the McGraw dock, that we had a place to bring the buses so that this truly becomes the visitor center that it should be.
Reeder and Massey both sit on the Centennial Hall Building Design Committee. It's a group of representatives from the various community groups that use this building, and there are a lot of those, both permanent residents like the museum and seasonal groups like the New Archangel Dancers and the Sitka Summer Music Festival. But the building's reach goes way beyond that. It hosts weddings, funerals, conventions, city government meetings, rehearsals, performances, fundraisers, voting. It's hard to live in Sitka too long without setting foot inside Centennial Hall. City officials say they're really happy with the amount of collaboration that's gone into designing the plans for the new Centennial Hall, and that the community should be proud of the effort and the end result. But nothing is set in stone, and even the architects, standing back outside that imaginary lobby now, say that they hope to get a lot of commentary from the public. Architect John Weir says he will know that tonight's meeting is a success based on whether the public is engaged.
And if they're asking lots of questions, and if they're getting up and afterwards they're asking us tons of questions, then it's a total success. If they just leave, we're in trouble.
The architects, the members of the design committee, and officials with the city of Sitka say that they know that summer is a bad time to ask people to come to a meeting. But all the same, they're hoping that after months of committee input and architectural designs and more committee input and conversations around conference tables, that the next voice weighing in on this process is yours. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
The Centennial Hall redesign meeting gets underway tonight at 6:30 p.m. inside, you guessed it, Centennial Hall. If you want to see the floor plan and link to other information on the project, you can visit our website, kcaw.org. As the ice clears out from the last of Alaska's beaches, it's the time of year where shorelines become littered with old fishing gear, machinery, and cargo from ships sailing across the globe. Cleaning up Alaska's vast coastline is a huge undertaking, but the Alaska Marine Stewardship Foundation is starting by sponsoring cleanup projects in 9 communities around the state, including in Sitka. KDLG's Ben Matheson has the story.
Much of Alaska's 44,500 miles of coastline is far from developed. There's not much going on locally that makes a mess, but thanks to persistent ocean currents, old junk from around the world continues to wash ashore. Some arrives after floating around for decades. David Gaudette is director of the Alaska Marine Stewardship Foundation.
We find what we believe are old nets from perhaps the days when the JVs or the foreign fleets were fishing off of the coast. We're also part of the great shipping route, and there are containers that fall over. We do find curious items. Last year there was a must have been a container of fly swatters that went over, and fly swatters were found all the way from Montague Island to Prince William Sound to Kodiak. And also the gyre, the North Pacific gyre, brings this debris from as far as Japan.
The foundation has $54,000 set aside for work in Port Hyden. Local teams will work around Ship Creek, about 20 miles north of Port Hyden, along with Stroganoff Spit. Gaudette says teaming up with communities takes advantage of local knowledge of shorelines and also makes sense logistically.
Most of these cleanups require lots of equipment. They require a boat or four-wheelers or trucks to move it. And we're certainly not going to be able to ship it into these remote areas and do anything economically. So working with them is the only way. Typically, we develop a contract with them to do so much work and in particular areas, and they will supply trucks and people for doing the work.
A big question for Gaudette this summer concerns the debris from the 2011 Japanese tsunami. Enormous amounts of foam from oyster farm buoys and destroyed houses made its way to Alaskan beaches last year. Gaudette says a project near Sitka is providing the first reports of this year's tsunami debris.
They're just getting on the ground, just getting started, and they said, yeah, there's more of the foam. It's, you know, a lot of it piled up over the winter.
The Alaska Marine Stewardship Foundation will put $420,000 this summer towards work in 9 communities, including Yakutat, Nelson Lagoon, and St. Paul Island. In Dillingham, I'm Ben Matheson.
A correction now to a story we aired during this newscast yesterday. In describing the upcoming winter ferry schedule, the state's fast ferry fleet was misidentified. The Fairweather is a fast ferry, but the Taku is not. You can read the corrected story in its entirety on our website at kcaw.org. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka.